Evening. We're going to read tonight in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now we're going to read another one over in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and I'm reading a few places tonight, and a couple of them are kind of application or applying it to you, but the truth is in Scripture, and this is one of them, Romans 13. You can actually read in Proverbs chapter 6. It speaks about the sleep that the sinner can be in and their need to be awakened. So chapter 13 of Romans, verse 11. It says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Now over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, and we'll read verse 40. I guess it's verse 42 that I want, but verse 40. Now, this should be a fearful thing for the person who is not saved tonight, just to read these words and understand that there's a day coming when this could very well be your experience. Okay, so I want you to imagine you're maybe, and this is one of those application scriptures that we're using right now, but imagine you're maybe in Walmart with your parents. You go around the corner for a moment and you come back and they're gone. And you begin to look. And you search and search and search and you can't find them because they're gone. You're driving along in the vehicle and one moment maybe you're speaking with them and the next moment they're gone. That is going to happen for some people. Okay? This is what it says. It says, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Now the last place I'm going to read is in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. And verse number 1, Proverbs 27, verse 1. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And this verse is something that was a little fresh to me in the last couple of days, and there's a bit of a story that I'll tell you, something that I experienced within the last 2 days. So if you stay awake through the first part while I'm up, you'll hear it at the end. So we're going to speak tonight about two things. There's a little more to it, but two main things that you could know tonight. God wants you to know. And we're also going to speak about two things that you can't know. Okay? So two things that you can know and two things that you can't. The first place that we read in 1 John chapter 5, it's speaking to Christians and he's writing to them and telling them that he's writing. The really purpose of it is that they might know that they have eternal life. They have that confidence, not enjoyment. And that is something that God wants for you tonight, is for you to have the confidence, and the enjoyment, and the joy that goes along with having salvation, having your sins forgiven. That is something he wants you to know. Okay? There's things that you need to know before you get to that point. Okay, maybe things that are a little bit unpleasant that you don't want to really know, you don't really want to face, you don't like to hear about. The very first thing that I want you to find out tonight is that God, we heard about it a little bit at the end, Luke mentioned it, but that God has a standard. Okay? And maybe you're sitting, I think most are probably somewhat familiar with the gospel, but now I'm going to tell you what God's standard is. And maybe you're sitting on the edge of your seat and you can't wait to hear it, because as soon as you leave this meeting, you're going to try and keep God's standard. You say, I'm game, up for a challenge. I like challenges, and I like to succeed at them, sometimes too much. A little competitive, maybe. Well, maybe you're the competitive person here, okay? You say, well, I want to know what God's standard is because I'm going to keep it. Just before you decide to do that, I'm going to tell you a little fact. If you do, you are going to be the first person in human history to do it. Okay, the first one in human history to keep God's perfect standard apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so are you up for the challenge? God's standard tonight, you don't actually have to write that much down. If you can just write perfection. You say, well, that's quite a standard. There's nobody that can do that. God's standard tonight is perfection. You say, well, does God not know who he's dealing with? Does God not know that nobody can be perfect? I try, but I'm not anywhere close to being perfect. Well, God does want you to know that that's the standard, but he also wants you to know that the standard cannot be kept. Okay, God knew that. God knows that tonight. God knows that he's dealing with failing humanity. And we're going to get to what he's done about that. God knows you can't keep his law that we heard about. God knows that you can't go a single day without doing something that is wrong, thinking something that is wrong. God knows that. And believe it or not, God never ever gave the standards, as we already heard. God never gave it with the intention that anyone would be able to keep it. You know what God wanted? Maybe jumping ahead a little bit, and this isn't where I was going with the verse. But you know what God wanted? God wanted people to see that, and he wanted them to wake up and realize, you know what, I can't keep God's standard, and ask him, so what's next? What do I have to do? What do you have for me? It's laid out before me perfection, and I can't keep it. Do you know what, tonight, even though it's so blatantly obvious, people should be able to see it, and people will ignore it for years and years and years, and right to the end of their life, but there are millions of people in the world tonight, and you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to keep a standard that can never be kept. And they fail. And the next day they get up and they say, I'm going to do better. And they fail and they just continue and they keep on failing. All the while missing. Maybe they're disappointed in themselves. And maybe they've weighed themselves down with worrying that God is disappointed in me. And I'm going to get up the next day and God, I promise I'm going to do better. And I'm going to read more. And I'm going to pray more. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to do good to my neighbor more. And through their whole entire life, they weigh themselves down with this. I'm going to keep God's standard. Maybe they spend their whole life apologizing to God. There are people who do that. I'm not afraid to say this. And this is, maybe it's going to touch someone here. I don't know. I don't know everybody's background. I think I know the majority of people. But there are people, that's what they do. They go in, I don't know how often it is, it's just foolish, but they go in maybe on a weekly basis. Every weekend maybe they go in. And you know what they're really doing? They're apologizing to another man, wanting that message to get to God. I'm sorry, I've done such and such, I've done this. Please forgive me, but I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to try again. I don't know what point you're at in your life, but maybe you're looking back over a number of years, and you realize I've failed over and over and over again, and you feel down, you feel disappointed with yourself. You want to do better. And you've tried as hard as you can, and it hasn't helped one bit, and tonight you're still miserable. Believe it or not, God doesn't want you there. God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to know tonight, he fully expects that not one single person, you included, will ever keep the standard that he has there. And over all these years, he wants you to know as well that there are sins that have been accumulating one upon another, and a record that is never going to go away, and it doesn't matter what you do. You can never lessen it. Doesn't matter if at the beginning of 2026, on January 1st, you said, this is the year when I'm going to turn everything around and I'm going to do better. And you have a little bit of a sense of pride in that until about January 2nd, and you've failed again. I've done it. I don't know what it is about the turn of the year. You figure you're 42 years old, and you figure, well, the start of the year, I'm going to do better than I did for the last 42. And it lasts a few hours. God doesn't want to change you for a few days or a few hours. God wants to change you for a lifetime and for an eternity. That's what he wants. And tonight, your sins are accumulating. And I don't care how many years turn, and how many times you say, I'm going to do better, and how many times you confess it. It never, ever rids you of it. Something that you're going to carry on and continue right to the end of your life if you don't find the real solution that God has. He wants you to know tonight that they're accumulating. The problem's getting bigger and bigger. God wants you to know tonight as well that there's already a sentence that has been passed. Maybe you're holding out hope that when my life is over, I'm going to stand before him. And your hope is this, is that whenever I stand before him, God is going to look over my life. Even though you know better, you're hoping that God is going to look over your life and see a person who has maybe tried and a person who has done a lot of good in their life. And that you're not going to hear the words, depart from me. I can tell you tonight that's wrong. If you continue through your life the pathway that you're on, with those sins that have accumulated, God has already, he's passed the sentence and he's declared you guilty. And if you leave this world guilty before him and you stand before him, you are going to hear the words, depart from me. God wants you to know that there's eternal suffering. This is not something that God has hidden. This is information, this is knowledge that God wants you to have, that he's placed right in front of you, that he's brought you into a gospel meeting where there are two men getting up and stumbling and stammering around and making a mess of it probably. But God wants you to know that there is eternal suffering for the things that you've done. God wants you to know that there is a hell that lies before you in the lake of fire, that there is suffering for the things that you've done. Do you know what God wants you to know tonight? We talked about he never ever expected you to keep his standard. And do you know something? God never ever expects or wants, desires any person to experience what we just told you. God doesn't want anyone in hell. That wasn't his purpose. And God wants you to know tonight that it was his intention, his desire, and guess what? It was his idea. He didn't react. Whenever sin came in, God already had a plan in place. God wants you to know that it was his idea, his plan, because of his love for the sinner, because of his love for you. That's why he sent the Lord Jesus. And that's why the Lord Jesus went to the cross. God wants you to know that salvation, when the Lord Jesus went and he died in the place of the sinner, that you've heard that message now for years, haven't you? For a long time, that the Lord Jesus, he's died for sinners and you have never ever accepted. It's never ever dawned in you that he's died for me. That's why God sent him. That's why he went to the cross, is because he died for my sins. You found it such a hard idea, such a hard concept to accept that he would die for your sins. And yet you've seen other people sitting in the meeting enjoying the fact that he's died for their sins. You hear about it. You've seen other people saved. You see other people enjoying that. What would ever give you the idea or ever give you the thought that he didn't die for mine? Whenever God wants you to know that he did. There's nothing in the scriptures that restrict any person from having their sins forgiven. Did you think about that tonight? God doesn't restrict it. God doesn't keep it back from anyone. And he has done the exact opposite from giving anyone that idea. He's given you verses like, I think it's, is it on this wall? John 3:16? He's made it so obvious that he wants everyone to know that it's for you, and it's for you, and it's for you. It's for everyone, whosoever. Doesn't leave anyone out. Goes right around the globe to every country, to every individual. That's what God wants you to know tonight. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he was dying in the place of the sinner. That takes you in. That's knowledge God wants you to have that you can have. And again, God hasn't left you in the dark. God wants you to know this, is that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants that message to get through, that the person, the sinner who calls out to him for mercy, for salvation, God hears that. God will save you. So you just think about these few things we've talked about. All that God wants you to know from 1 John chapter 5. The second thing that God wants you to know that we read about. I don't see too many people sleeping tonight. But I do see some people that are asleep spiritually. I do see some people who you just heard what we went over, and it hasn't really caused you any concern. Maybe it has. But I sat in meetings like that where people got up and they spoke about these things, and my mind was off on a car or on the fun that I was going to have in the weekend or on something else, and I really didn't care. The only thing that I was concerned with was the clock on the wall, and I couldn't wait until it got to the end, and I hoped that the preacher didn't go overtime. Couldn't wait to get out. And as aware, actually sometimes I was asleep physically, but as maybe awake and aware as I seemed to be, there was a message that God wanted to get through to me. You know what it was? It was, Dale, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Some in here, I don't know your name and I wouldn't do it, but God wants to get your attention. So the person sitting here not saved, you know what God wants? God wants you to wake up. He wants you to know that right now is the time for you to wake up. Why? What kind of boggled my mind when I thought about this is that the information that God has given us for us to know, so many are walking around and doing whatever they want in life, and they're acting as if it's knowledge that they couldn't have or that it's inattainable. And all the while, God is saying, here it is. Can we say this, that it's public knowledge? It's for everybody to know, and people will walk around as though it's something that they can't know. There are people that will say that, actually, that oh, you can never ever know that your sins are forgiven. And that's the way they act. Do you know what boggles my mind is that there are people who will walk around, these next two things that I want to mention, the things that we don't know, and there are people that will walk around as if it's things that they can know. That's the way they act, at least. Do you know why God wants you to wake up? It's because there's something you don't know. What we do know is that the Lord Jesus is coming back. Whenever he died on the cross, he was buried, he was raised again, and then he went back to heaven, and he made this promise before he left. He said that I will come again. And you might say tonight, that's crazy. That seems so far-fetched. Well, you know, it's never ever happened before, and so there is a sense in which it does seem almost hard to take in that that's going to happen, but guess what? It's based on God's word, and I know that it's going to happen. And there were people actually in the past, there was an event called the flood, and they ridiculed that. And it happened. And even after it happened, whenever the Lord Jesus' coming was brought up, they ridiculed that and they're reminded. Do you remember the time whenever the flood was promised and that was made light of and it took place? God wants you to wake up tonight because there's something you don't know. You know he's coming, but you don't know when. Our goal isn't to scare anyone, but our goal is to get the message across that maybe God will use it and wake someone up. You very well could go home tonight and go to sleep, and the next morning you could get up and everything has completely changed. Just ask yourself the question, how are things going to change if I wake up tomorrow and I'm still here and the Lord's come? I can come back here next Sunday and we won't be here. And the invitation won't be open. And the gospel message is going to be irrelevant to you because you've missed it. You don't know when he's coming. And like I said, there are people that walk around as if, well, they must know. Look at what comfort they're in. They don't seem to care. They get up after gospel meeting, they're talking about everything but the gospel meeting. By their actions, it looks as though they must know when he's coming. And yet tonight, no one knows. That's why God wants you to wake up. He wants you to know this, that it's time to wake up because there's something you don't know, and that's when he's coming. We read in Proverbs chapter 27, these words, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That is something else you don't know. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Okay? You might have intentions for tomorrow, and yet God, for every single person, we can read that he's appointed bounds that we're not going to pass. In other words, God has placed a line for every, an imaginary line for every person. And that's their time to leave. When it's time to leave, you're not staying any longer. And I see people all the time, and I act like that too. All the time, I act as though I expect to be here tomorrow, and I expect to be here next week. And I see a lot of people acting that way. Looks as though they must be invincible. You don't know when you're leaving. You don't know whenever tomorrow comes what tomorrow holds. Now, I told you I was going to mention a little story about something that happened on Friday. So one of my employees, not Ian, he's fine, so don't worry about him. One of the other ones, he's the one who's been with me the longest, about 10 years. We were out at one job site clearing a bit of snow on the roof, and then we went up to another job in Tignish clearing snow on the roof. I was around the back of the house up on the roof clearing snow off, and I didn't hear anything, but I saw a man come around who I didn't recognize, and he said, your guy that's with you is on the ground out front. So needless to say, that came as a bit of a shock. So I came around, and Matt, this employee's name, he was already in the truck. He appeared to be okay. He was in a bit of pain in his lower back. So he said just to give him a few minutes to recuperate. So I went back out, cleared a bit more snow, came around. He was still in a bit the same pain, didn't get any worse. So I ended up taking him down to the hospital in Summerside. And the outcome of that is that he ended up with a compression fracture in a vertebrae in his lower back. He didn't expect that to happen. Okay, whenever we drove up to Tignish, actually, He had told me, looking forward to doing the steel on the roof, and when we get the crew together, he actually said, I'm going to make sure that everything is safe. I can't wait to do the roof, but we're going to be set up properly on this one. I said, great. 2 hours later, he was in the hospital, and the next morning, yesterday morning, got driven to Moncton in the ambulance. And now he's facing probably a 3 to 6 month recovery period with 8 screws in, I think it's above and below the vertebrae. Do you think that Matt, on Friday morning, he expected that to happen? No, he didn't. He probably expected that tomorrow morning he was going to drive up to work and go about the same business as usual. Well, that's what this verse is talking about. You don't make plans for tomorrow until you've made plans for eternity. Okay? You need to get that settled. God wants you to understand tonight there's something you can't know, and that's what tomorrow holds. And if you don't have eternity looked after, then you forget about tomorrow until eternity is looked after right now. You make sure that you're ready. God has made ample provision. God has given all the information that you need to know for that to happen. And he's inviting you tonight. It's not that God has made provision and he's standing back and he doesn't really want the message to get out. It's the exact opposite. God wants the message to get out, and God is inviting you actively. The invitation hasn't collected dust. Every single Sunday, at minimum, we'll say, every single Sunday, God is, can we put it this way? God has dusted the invitation off, made it clear and plain, and holds it out in front of you. Salvation. It's free. Take it. And I don't know too many other offers that are free that people don't take. And when it comes to something as great as God's salvation, far greater than any other gift, God says it's free. So tonight, the invitation is there for you. God has given you all this knowledge, all this information. He wants you just to simply accept his invitation and accept his son. We'll pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus, and we would just pray tonight for each one who has heard the message. We just give thanks for intervening and for giving this knowledge that we have, giving us thy word, and we would just pray for salvation tonight. We just pray for safety on the way home for each one. We just commit each one that has listened tonight to thee in his name. Amen.